EAA's second annual Founders Innovation Prize this year has gone to three high school seniors from Alexandria, Virginia. We're joined by two of them. One of them had to get back to the hard work of
the real world, as you would say.
So welcome to EAA Radio, Thomas Barron and Justin Zhao.
Thank you.
Guys, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You brought your $25,000 check or a replica of it here that's about 4 feet long and about 2 feet high.
Yeah, we have to turn it in back to Airbus actually later after this.
So. Yeah, so that they can ship it out to us.
So that they can give you the real one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, and they're going to give us this too, but it'd be hard to bring on that plane.
And what's
back.
The dollar amount on the check?
$25,000.
$25,000 first prize for Founders Innovation Prize. So I attended the sort of combination science fair and Shark Tank event last night. There were five projects to help alleviate loss of control incidents in general aviation. Your project was judged as the best of the lot. The best of really dozens and dozens of entrants from people who maybe have a few more years and a few more letters after their name than you do. So how did that feel?
I mean, it was great. I think that in general, all five of them were pretty amazing, but we're not necessarily the best project. We're just the widest. We had the most applicability to general aviation.
So give us a summary of the project and the solution that you've created.
So growing up, you know, airspeed and angle of attack were the two most important things for my dad when he was teaching me. So we wanted to make something that could always show you your airspeed and angle of attack. So basically, we made a head-mounted display that takes information from a wireless sensor pod that's hung on the wing. So, I mean, it's a pretty simple system. All it does is show you your airspeed and angle of attack. But those are the two most important things for a pilot to know as far as keeping them safe. So
I'm going to bring in Digital Dave here from Hot Start.
Yep.
So, Dave, you've talked to a lot of people who have produced a lot of avionics, including heads-up displays.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one of the things I'm interested in is what makes this different.
So it's not a heads-up display. It's a head-mounted display. So it's always on your glasses. So it always shows you what's going on. And so one of the things that we found through our research was that only about 3% of fatal stall spin accidents happen when you're cruising. And so we made sort of like the determination that that's the only time when a pilot can really zone in on their avionics.
Right.
When they're maneuvering, taking off, landing, you know, phases of flight that require them to look outside, that's when they're really at risk. That's the other 97% of the time. So we wanted to solve that issue by having that information available to them
at all times. Keeping it in front of his eye the whole time.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
The idea.
Yeah.
So that they're always aware no matter where they look.
Mm-hmm.
That's Thomas Barron speaking. Also want to bring in Justin Zhao, who's another third of your company, Remora Systems.
Right.
Justin, what was your specialty on the project?
So I knew how to do CAD and SolidWorks. So my major role so far has been designing the sensor pod that gets mounted underneath the wing, making sure that the aerodynamics are all good, and then exploring different ways that we can mount the pod underneath the wing of planes.
This was not your first use of SolidWorks, I bet.
No, it has not been. I've used it a lot in school, and I used to do some freelance CAD design work as well outside of school.
Yeah. Okay.
In designing the pod, how do you take into account any aerodynamic effects of the wing behind above it? Because that can mess up your airspeed indications.
Right, exactly. That was one of the biggest concerns for us, was how we could get an accurate reading based on the aerodynamics of the wing. So what we tried to do was we tried to extend the pod as far away from the wing vertically as possible so that we could minimize that effect. And we're looking into different mounting methods to do that with. We could, we're actually looking in right now to getting GoPro arms to extend down far enough so that the wing wouldn't disturb the airflow as much.
Okay. You said it communicates wirelessly. Is it powered by the aircraft or is it battery powered?
No, so it's absolutely self-contained, so wireless and self-powered. The pilots, so we've made it so that Justin's, you know, been, the design process has come far enough now that Justin's been able to make a permanent mounting mechanism that's always on the airplane, and you just got to clip on the pod.
Right, with so you pop it off, take it back to your hotel, right. Whatever, charge it up.
Yeah,
like a phone. It's like micro USB.
One of the questions you got from one of the judges last night was, does the head-mounted display create a blind spot?
Mm-hmm.
So the mental picture here is of something that attaches to the temple of your sunglasses
right.
and sits at about what position in your field of view?
So you can really pivot it to be anywhere. Right now it's on the right side, but we could modify it so that the image gets inverted for the left side as well. But the thing to remember, right, is that you have two eyes, so they create two images. So if you hold your finger up to your eye, you can still almost see through the eye, the finger, right? Because you've got two.
Because you got the other eye.
You've got two eyes sending two different images to you. So the experience is a little bit different from what we showed on the slide. It's a little hard to convey, but it's almost like if you're focusing on your right eye, it's opaque. But if you're focusing on your left eye, it's almost like it's not there.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter what eye I want to put it in? I mean, everybody has a dominant eye. Is the goal to use that dominant eye?
The goal is that we can just switch eyes, and whichever one the pilot prefers, they can switch to that one.
Thomas, there was a lot of conversation about the critical moments in flight when loss of control is more likely to happen. You've flown with this for a while. Do you find yourself looking at it other than while you land?
So my dad is very big on airspeed. So like all of my instructors are like, numbers, be on the numbers. But he's also big on keeping your head out of the cockpit. So I think I'm mostly looking at the pod or at the head-mounted display when I'm in the pattern. It is true that's when it's most useful. I think that's part of our slides was that we didn't think that it was that useful when you're cruising. But it is also useful for pilots that like to do maneuvers and things like that. I don't get a lot of time doing loops or barrel rolls and things like that, but I do imagine that it would be helpful.
Have you guys considered an alert function? In other words, it either flashes or changes color if they pass a predetermined threshold?
We do have that. So if you start to approach a sort of a critical angle of attack, or you approach it, or low airspeed, the display behind the numbers will turn colors. So it'll sort of alert the eye.
Right, catch your uh-oh. Yeah. Pay attention.
And something that we'd be interested in adding, it wouldn't be very difficult, would be like an audio alert system. So
that's Thomas Barron and Justin Zhao, who are two-thirds of Remora Systems, the winner of the Founders Innovation Prize at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh for 2017. It is obviously highly unusual that a group of high school students would defeat engineers, former astronauts, people who have entered the competition before. So apart from the fact that this is like, wow. Talk about your background, your high school, the experiences that you've had that have put you in a place to compete so effectively against people who have much more experience and years than you do.
So we go to Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Alexandria, Virginia. And that school has a very strong focus on STEM. Science, technology,
engineering math.
Yeah, and so at our school we met actually at our freshman engineering 101 class. So as freshmen, we take like a baseline engineering class, and then we all go off and specialize into one of the 14 labs that we have at our school, where you do research. So I'll be going to the communications lab. So I'll be writing communications protocols. Justin will be going to the engineering an energy systems lab, and Max will be going to the software lab. So they have biology labs and chemistry labs and physics labs, but it just so happened that we ended up going to those certain labs. So I think that's really they've trained us for these kinds of things.
Yeah, and obviously that's not a common scenario for high school.
Right.
So
yeah.
So what's the minimum critical stuff that you experienced or that you did that you would say to high school students or high school educators, if you don't have the resource richness that we did, this is what you ought to do?
So I would say that most of my technical education has also actually been outside of the classroom. Honestly, Google is your friend here, you know? A lot of my SolidWorks is self-taught. They teach Autodesk at my school mostly. So really, what you should do if you want to get into this kind of stuff as like a high school student is to purchase maybe an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi, maybe a breadboard at your local hardware store, and begin. There are forums, Stack Overflow online, that you can really build some amazing do-it-yourself projects, and that's really, I think, the best way to learn about this kind of stuff.
So that was Justin. Thomas, do you have any advice?
So actually, I think I'm sort of unusual at my school in that I'm not necessarily the best student. Like, I'm a pretty average student. So like, for us to go so far here is maybe unusual. But I think that in general, for a high school student, your academic performance is not necessarily reflective of you know, what certain passions you have. In fact, so I work a lot of my internships and, you know, my part-time jobs that I do to try and learn about these things are what's been really, really helpful. So I think just asking lots and lots of questions. And I noticed actually some of the best engineers that I've ever met are not necessarily people that did extremely well in high school and sort of take their steps.
People that don't fit the hole.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't, you know, I think that some kids get told that they're not exactly super intelligent in school, but I think if you can capture your ambitions, you know, outside of school and really pursue technical ability, speaking skills, and just personal connections, I think that's really the key to getting something like this.
Yeah. That's something to note, Thomas and I were also debate partners in high school, so that's a part of where we can get public speaking experience.
Your confidence,
from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes across.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're just trying to, this is sort of like a byproduct of just our passion for aviation.
So skipping forward now, what are you going to do with the $25,000?
So we've promised ourselves that we're not going to spend any of it for a week. We've been dreaming about what we want to do. So all of it's going to go back into the project. So a big part of our design process is the 3D printing. So we've always wanted it. Justin's, I mean, his dream is to get
every mechanical's dream is a 3D printer.
Yeah. So really being able to prototype on our own schedule would be awesome. So which is why we're looking into maybe getting our own 3D printer.
Right. And sometimes the prints just take too long for their schedule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that we have the resources, because I've been working part-time jobs to sort of make this work and been like making shirts and just to make things work, you know, for
take
the money for
it. Scrape together enough money to do this and that.
I've spent pretty much all of our life savings. He's broke, I'm broke. But, so.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You're in good company.
That's Thomas Barron and Justin Zhao, two-thirds of Remora Systems, this year's winner of the EAA Founders Innovation Prize. Again, congratulations and thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you.
For EAA Radio,
I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Mike Morgan.